This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today's guest is integrative cardiologist and wellness expert, Dr. Vivian Kaminos. She's an MD. She's a board-certified cardiologist. Kind of a rare confluence because, well, there are not that many integrative cardiologists in the U.S. A lot of cardiologists, they've invested a lot of time and effort in becoming cardiologists. It's lucrative. They've got to earn a living. They're not going to go that extra mile to take a fellowship course in another state at the University of Arizona to become an integrative cardiologist, which is what you did, right?
That's right. That's right. I did it out of necessity, and I was called to it. I really believe that, you know, the same way I was called to cardiology when my first month in the intensive care unit in the CCU as an intern, I absolutely loved it. And now I love integrative cardiology and integrative medicine.
So it's reinvigorated your approach to patients. And I think that's one of the nice things about integrative medicine is that, unfortunately, there's a very high degree of physician burnout these days. Doctors are feeling very beleaguered. They're confronted with all kinds of new requirements, regulations, strictures, electronic mm-hmm. medical records. They fight with insurance mm-hmm. companies all the time. They often are not self-employed. They work for big HMOs or hospital chains. There's a lot of regulations about how they can practice, what tests they can order, what medications even they can prescribe. And there's not a lot of time to talk about diet and lifestyle. Many of them have to see, 20, 30, 40 patients a day. I think one of the nice things about integrative practice, certainly from my standpoint, perhaps yours, is that we can really connect with patients. We can really have a transformative effect on patients and not just put Band-Aids on, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, it also heals us. I'm convinced of that. Because when you see somebody, you know, looking more alive and they have a light in them as they walk out of the office and they look better than when they came in, that makes me feel good. It makes me feel proud and happy and we're doing good work.
Yeah, that's why we got into this after all. So let's look at the I guess it's the big elephant in the room when it comes to cardiology, is what diet do you recommend? Because on the one hand, you have the very low fat acolytes, eliminate the fat, like Dean Ornish says, and you'll melt away your plaque. And then you have the people on the very other, the opposite end of the spectrum who say, it's not fat that's the culprit, it's carbohydrates. So, dwindle down your carbohydrates, get a very low carbohydrate diet, maybe a ketogenic diet, a paleo diet. That's the answer. Right. So where do you stand on that? Because that's a conundrum.
Yeah. So I've learned so much over the years about nutrition. And what I've learned, only one thing that is probably going to be true besides death and taxes, right, is that one diet does not fit all.
Okay, so different strokes for
different folks. Absolutely, and I ran the Dr. Dean Ornish program for heart disease reversal. I followed it for a while. I personally cannot be on a low-fat vegan diet. I don't feel well on it.
Right.
Some of the patients that went through the program did fantastic. Others didn't. I'd see their triglycerides go up. And again, it comes down to not just what they're doing, sitting and eating. It comes down to their genetics, the rest of their lifestyle. And I think we could also agree, besides the fact that one diet doesn't fit all. And by the way, I don't give my patients diets. What I do is I take a 3-day food history from them. I have them fill everything out that they eat and drink. We sit down together. We see what it is that they're eating that is not nutritionally sound. And I asked them if there was a way they could drop that. And then we try to add more highly nutritious food. So, you know, I do like the Mediterranean diet. For certain people, I think a mild ketogenic diet is better, especially if they have, you know, metabolic problems like diabetes, obesity. So again, I don't give one diet to people. I sit down and work with them. If they've had genomics testing where we know that maybe they shouldn't be having saturated fat, because if they have saturated fat, they're going to have more abdominal adiposity. If we know that they need more choline, if we find out other specifics, I may sit down and talk to them about it, but then I have them work with an integrated nutritionist that I work with, because I don't know as much as this nutritionist, right, in terms of what foods can actually give them what they need. So, you know, it's a great question. I don't know if I've answered it, but it's this wonderful question, because I don't think that anybody can say this is the only diet that should be followed. There's certain principles that we should follow. We should get rid of processed food. We should get rid of heavy metals and pesticides and herbicides in our food, because we know that they increase heart disease. And we should, if we're going to eat meat, and I personally, you know, you saw my Big Fat Greek Wedding. Did you see that movie?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, I don't eat meat. I eat lamb. Okay, so I eat lamb, you know, and I do eat red meat, but I make sure. I make sure that it's organic, that it's grass-fed, and I don't eat it that often, because I don't desire it that often. You know, when I was pregnant, I needed to eat meat every day, and I couldn't even smell fish. My body was telling me, stay away from fish, but you need the iron or something, or I needed something that was in the red meat. Right. So everybody's different. We have to stay away from sugar, stay away from processed food, buy organic when you can, eat more plants. And, you know, the general rule of thumb is if you can't kill it or pick it, don't eat it. You know, so there isn't one good diet for people. I think we killed ourselves with, you know, high sugar, with the high carbohydrate diets of the past.
With the ersatz, and the low-fat foods, you know, because the food industry got the message. They said, hey, this stuff is marketable. We've created fat phobia for people. And so we just put a low-fat label on all our products and people just go to town. I mean, it's sort of like that, if you remember the Seinfeld episode of the low-fat yogurt. That's a famous episode of Seinfeld, classic episode where, you know, George Costanza and the whole gang, they're realizing that they discover the low-fat yogurt, they're all getting fat.
And it's like, That's right.
So because they go to the Department of Consumer Affairs, they want to meet with the mayor because, you know, the whole thing.
I got to watch that now.
Yeah, but it's a classic episode.
When you get rid of one macronutrient, right? We have three macronutrients, fat, protein, and carbohydrates. When you get rid of one, what do you replace it with?
Yeah. So, you know, it's got to have mouthfeel and appeal. Right.
So, and we don't sit down and eat macronutrients. That's the other thing when you read all these nutritious studies, you know, they concentrate on single foods or single macronutrients. When we sit down, we don't sit down and eat a fat or a carbohydrate. We sit down and we eat food.
It has to be in context.
And I mean, I remember when I would drive to emergencies from one hospital to another, and I'd be sitting there scarfing down a tuna fish sandwich in my Volvo driving 60 miles an hour while I'm eating. I mean, so is that
And that actually may have transformed the nutritional value of the food, is the setting in which you eat, the rate at which you consume the food, if you're adrenalized while you're eating. I mean, all those factors are these ineffable factors aren't measured in a you know, calorie bomb in a university laboratory.
That's right. So nutrition's a tough, you know, it's a tough thing, and yet there's certain guiding principles that we all should be following. And, you know, I went back to the way my yaya raised me, you know, with eating a Mediterranean diet, because I'm Greek. So, you know, works for me.
Right.
So that's good.
So Vivian, the other, you know, I notice, it's the room is pretty stuffy because there's another elephant in the room, and that is statins and our relentless drive to lower cholesterol. And I can't tell you how many patients come to me for a second opinion on statins. Now, let me tell you that, you know, presumably you, like me, are not inalterably opposed to statins. We recognize that they have a role to play, that there are studies that suggest that statins may have a beneficial effect in terms of protecting against cardiovascular disease. But what I do find is they are applied indiscriminately to so many people. The default for doctors is, oh, your cholesterol is a little high. Yeah, I might as well go to a statin. What do you do when confronted with that dilemma? You see a lot of patients, presumably they're seeing you precisely because you're an integrative cardiologist. Tell me it ain't so, Dr.
That's
Caminos.
Right.
I don't need to be on a
That's
statin.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, a lot of times, maybe not a lot of times, I'll sit there and I'll say to them at the end of the hour and a half long visit that we have as a first consult, you really should take the statin because the benefit is going to outweigh the risk and it'll decrease your risk for a heart attack and stroke. So statins are really great drugs when they're used appropriately. And I think you'll agree with me on that, you know, but the problem is, I agree with you, they're used indiscriminately. And I once heard, not more than once, heard doctors say, take the statin and you could go out and eat whatever you want and do whatever you want.
And that's one of the worst aspects of that. It removes the moral hazard of eating badly or not exercising.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible. So when used appropriately, I agree with statins. And what's interesting, what happens to my patients, you know, when I sit down, I've spent an hour and a half going through all their risks. If I say to them, you don't need a statin, or you do need a statin, they tend to respect that a little more than if a prescription is just, you know, thrown at them after a 5-minute visit. So what I like to do is look at all the risks. You know, we have these ASCVD 10-year risk tools that we use in cardiology.
Yeah, but I find that those sometimes those they stack the deck. You know, it's like I apply myself to those, and they go, "Well, you're male, you're over 60, you have a family history of heart disease, and my cholesterol's a little high." They don't really pay attention to my HDL, which is very good. They don't ask whether I exercise. You know, what my weight is, none of that. And then they say, "Oh, you might as well be in a statin." You know.
That's exactly where I was going next. You know, they don't look at some of our non-traditional risk factors that can say you really shouldn't be on a statin or you should be on a statin. You know, if I knew what was going to happen to my husband back in 2004, I would have put him on a statin before it. And maybe he wouldn't have had the blockage. Mm-hmm. However, he had none of the traditional risk factors. So, you know, when I sit down with somebody, you know, one thing we haven't talked about that much is stress, you know, psychosocial illness and stress.
Yep.
You know, we looking at the Interheart study that looked at over 20,000, you know, acute MIs that came in, those that had the highest stress and were most depressed, that accounted for a third of all heart attacks. So it's as strong a risk factor as, you know, diabetes,
right.
Smoking.
Depression really is a silent killer. I mean, it won't just depress you. It will actually cause inflammatory changes throughout your body.
Absolutely. And your mental health is going to affect your cognitive health. And, you know, if you do have heart disease and you're depressed, it doubles your risk for having an event in the next couple of years. So, and, you know, there's work stress. These tools don't take into account, you know, the fact that you're exercising, that you're healthy, that otherwise, they don't take in the fact of what you're eating, you know. Suppose you're staying away from environmental toxins and you're eating well. And finally, you know, I'd like to just briefly talk about, you know, sex-specific risk factors because, you know, I was trained that heart disease is a man's disease.
Yep.
And we know that there's, you know, some sex-specific risk factors for heart disease. You know, breast cancer, cancer treatments themselves can increase the risk. Pregnancy complications, almost all pregnancy complications increase the risk for cardiometabolic disease.
That's a classic.
Yeah. Gestational diabetes.
Yep.
Being overweight and not losing your weight after pregnancy. Do you know we're the only so-called civilized country where maternal mortality has actually increased over the last 10 years. In all other countries, it's gone down. And, you know, what's driving this mortality is cardiometabolic disease in young women. And young women don't know that they're at risk for heart disease. In fact, when they took a survey of all women that were older, only about 50% realized that heart disease is their major killer. And when they look at young women, hardly anybody, you know, pregnant, either in high school or women that are in, you know, their pregnancy age, they don't realize that heart disease is a woman's disease. And what I've been doing is going around and lecturing in the community to try to increase awareness. But even some doctors don't realize that heart disease kills more women than all cancers put together.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. Here goes. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Vivian Kaminos. What's your take on the coronary artery calcification score as helping us understand the impact of all these risk factors? You know, so for example, I see women who have cholesterol that's sky high. It's 300, it's 320 and higher. And yet when we do coronary artery calcification scoring with an EBT heart scan or an ultrafast CAT scan, they have zero score or single digit numbers, which really suggests that their risk of cardiovascular disease is remote.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I use calcium scoring in addition to functional capacity on stress testing to better risk stratify my patients, especially if I, you know, we're not really sure which way to go. Do we give them medications or not? And I like using calcium scores. So if somebody has a calcium score of zero, just, you know, it sort of gives you, it not 100% guaranteed, but a pretty good prognosis that you're not going to have a cardiovascular event over the next 5 years. So, you know, I think it's a great tool.
It's important to look at. What are some, when you're doing a comprehensive screening on a new patient, say somebody comes in and looks, says, I want soup to nuts. You know, I got a bad family history. Am I at risk? What are some of the tests that you will perform?
Well, you know, there's the standard test. We can't overlook. The nice thing about integrated medicine is it includes all your evidence-based good conventional approaches and adds to it everything else that also is evidence-based. So I use the typical screening tools of lipid panels, and I also, you know, like to look at their thyroid function, their insulin and glucose function. I like
because high insulin and insulin resistance is a risk factor that sometimes not recognized.
Absolute risk factor, and you know, so is you know, subclinical hypothyroidism. Okay. And you know, one thing I've found that's a little discouraging is, you know, I recently had a patient that came to me who's cold, who's gaining weight, who feels totally fatigued, who can't function. Her TSH was a little high, and she was told, oh, everything's okay. Well, that TSH that's in that high so-called normal range is not good for her.
Yeah.
So I did antibodies over thyroid. I'm getting outside of the heart now because, you know, the heart is connected to the rest of the body, right?
Yeah.
So we didn't learn that in fellowship, but in any case, you know, I did antibodies on her. I did an ultrasound. I found out that she has Hashimoto's thyroiditis and has you know, two nodules that we're going to follow. I started her on thyroid replacement, talked to her about her diet, about exercise. And, you know, within a month, she's feeling better.
Uh-huh.
And you know, so I think one of the things that I do that's different, besides testing, and I could do all the tests in the world because that's how I was trained, is to actually sit and look at the patient and talk to them and touch them. And I think that's the most powerful thing we can do besides the C-reactive protein and the stress test and the echo and the Holter.
Awesome. And for men, there's a controversy about the desirability of testosterone replacement. And, you know, that's a hot and heavy controversy because it's said by some, you know, don't give men testosterone because that's what makes men more prone to cardiovascular disease in the first place. Women don't have it and they're protected. And yet there are studies that show that if you're an overweight, pre-diabetic man with a big belly and you're lethargic and you have no mojo, that giving a man testosterone actually will help their heart and get them off the dime to exercise and do good stuff for themselves.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is a double-edged sword because I don't think we really know. I recently had to review some of these studies because there was a case that I was asked to participate in, a malpractice case, and the guy was given testosterone, and it wound up that he had, you know, a heart attack, but he also had, you know, multiple other risk factors, including he was highly depressed. So, you know, I recently reviewed some of the data, and I have to tell you, after I reviewed it, I didn't know which way to go.
Yeah.
I'll be totally honest.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that we know the right answer to it. Personally, I'm a little hesitant to give testosterone. And then, you know, I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe that's because you were sat in a courtroom where there was a lawsuit about it.
You're right. No, you're absolutely
right.
You know,
it makes doctors risk averse, you know, because it's like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I could maybe help this guy, but I don't want to get sued.
Yeah, yeah. Or am I really helping? Am I not? I didn't even know. I don't know. Now, have you found that using genomics, did that change the way you're treating people with testosterone, or has that come up at all?
It doesn't speak so much to their response to testosterone or lack thereof. However, you know, one of the things with the genomics is that we can see if folks have risk factors for hypercoagulation, in other words, a higher risk of blood clots. And there might be a caution flag when we put women on hormone replacement therapy, or men on, you know, testosterone, which is a form of hormone replacement therapy that might thicken the blood and put them at risk. What I find generally, though, is that when you use topical testosterone rather than oral testosterone, same thing with estrogen, the risks are less for blood clots, and I haven't seen any problems. I'm actually a proponent of testosterone for men with metabolic syndrome and cardiovascular disease. But, and studies, you know, I think, if I had to, you know, defend myself in a court of law, I'm not looking forward to that opportunity. Knock wood. But I think I could muster a whole lot of studies, especially lately, that show, cardiovascular benefit. So there you go. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, look, it's a fascinating field, integrative cardiology. There's really a need for doctors like yourself, Dr. Kaminos, who synthesize the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapy. We call that intelligent medicine when it comes to cardiology. That's what you're practicing. So give us some information about your practice in West Long Branch, New Jersey. By the way, you see patients not just from locally from New Jersey. Do patients come to you from, out of state?
Definitely. Yeah. Because, like I said, there's only a handful of us in the country, and some of us aren't even in practice, you know, seeing patients. Some of the integrative cardiologists are doing either research or they're working for a large institution and they can't do what I do. As you mentioned before, most doctors actually right now are hired by corporations. So my practice is in beautiful Monmouth County, New Jersey. I'm about an hour and 20 minutes outside of New York City, about an hour and a half from Philly. I've been getting patients from several states surrounding New Jersey. And my practice is open to new patients. I love taking care of patients. You know, my passion has always been clinical medicine, and now it's also teaching. For the last 10 years or so, I'm teaching other doctors, and hopefully we'll get more of us like yourself and myself out there to make people healthier again.
Well, that's great. Yeah, but I think it's also important that because of your rigorous training in cardiology, you won't miss the boat on, you know, more serious problems. You know, I think with due respect to, you know, some of the nutritional chiropractors out there and, you know, medical nutritionists who are not specifically trained in a medical subspecialty, you know, they can do great work, but someone with maybe a serious underlying heart problem or perhaps a problem that's not yet been disclosed, it might be beneficial to really get a deeper dive from a doctor like yourself.
Right, right. And then they can always go back to work with their nutritionist and their chiropractor, and, I could hand off care once, you know, they're evaluated. Although my patients seem to like me, they keep coming back. So okay. I'm grateful for that.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Vivian Caminos, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to ensure your skeletal health. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. In addition to the Bone Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for my Supplement Starter Kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. These new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle, and for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DrHoffmanStore.com. That's DrHoffmanStore.com.